All right, so here we're starting about four lines down on the wide lines on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. It says here, Amru Alav Al Nachum Ish Gamzu. So that's his name. Shaya Suma Mishteinav. He was blind in both eyes. Gideim Mishteyadav. Both of his arms were cut off. Kiteya Mishteyraglav. He was a double amputee. V'chol Gufo Malei Shchin. And his entire body was covered in boils, blisters. V'yam Mutal B'bayit Ra'ua. He was in a very decrepit, dilapidated house. And the legs of his bed were placed into buckets of water in order that the ants or any other animal would not climb up onto him because he had no way to shoo them away or to remove them. So the water was protective. His bed was inside of this dilapidated house. They wanted to take him out of there. And then remove his possession. First take out the possessions. And then afterwards take my bed out. As long as I'm still in the house, the house will not fall down. So they did exactly that. They removed his possessions. And after that, they removed his bed. As soon as he left the house collapsed. So Amrulo Tamidav, Rabbi, Michi Machasha Tzadika Murata, that since you are such a righteous individual, Lama Altalacha Kach, why do you look like you do? I mean, obviously, he was in devastated physical state. So why did this happen to you if you're such a tzaddik and you're able to keep this house from falling just from being present there? Samalahem Banai, Anigramti Latzmi, I caused it to myself. Shapamachat Aiti Malech Vaderech the Beit Chami. I was traveling on the way to my father-in-law's house. I had three loads worth of food. One of food, one of drink, and one of delicacies or dessert. A poor person came and bumped into me along my travels. Rabbi, can you give me something to eat? Can you give me something to sustain myself? Give me a second, I'll unload the donkey, and I'll give it to you. Lo ispakti lifrok min hachamor. I wasn't able to unload the donkey, aji yatzta nishmato, before he passed away. Halachti nafalti al panav. I went and I fell upon him. Amarti einai shlo chasu al einecha. My eyes that did not have mercy upon your eyes, yisomo, should be blinded. Yadai. My arms, shlo chasu al yadecha, that were not merciful, did not care enough about your arms, itgadmu, should be cut off. Aglai shlo chasu al reglecha. My legs that were not merciful on your legs, itkatu, they should be amputated. Velo nitkara dati, but that still didn't satisfy me. Hachamarti kol gufi yehei malei shchin. My whole body should be covered in boils and blisters. Amrulo, oilanu shirainucha bekach. Woe that we see you in this condition. Amrahem oili imlori ituni bekach. It would be much worse if you didn't see me in this condition. At least through this, I might gain some kapara for what I did. But have you not seen me in this, I would still be on the hook for what happened to this ani. Very similar in sentiments to the story that's told about the author of the Netana Tokef. Similar idea where he does something that he's upset about, and therefore he's gozer on himself that some terrible tragedies will take place and that he will be put into a condition where he is unable to do anything. And the story or the legend goes that he penned the Netana Tokef in that condition right before his death. So if you read in the Machzor, the story behind the Netana Tokef, it's very similar to the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Famai karulei Nachum Ish Gamzu. Why was he called Nachum Ish Gamzu? D'chol milta d'havasalvilei. Because anything that happened to him, amar gamzu l'tova. That this also will be for good. That this will turn out to be for the best. Zimna chado. Ba'u l'shturei Yisrael doron l'bei Kezar. Was a time when the Jews wanted to send a gift to the Caesar. For whatever reason, they were trying to placate him. They wanted something from him. Whatever it was, they wanted to send it a gift as a tribute to the Kezar. Amru man Yezel. Who should be sent? They said, Yezel Nachum Ish Gamzu, d'mlumad v'nisim hu. We'll send Nachum Ish Gamzu because he frequently has miracles that take place. And we may as well send it with him because at least it'll get there that way. Shtar will be a day. Melo sifta davanim tovot umagaliot. Send with him either a chest full or a bag full of precious stones and pearls. Azobat bahaudira belelia. On his way there, he stopped at some inn, at some lodging, and stayed there for the night. Kamuhanach diorei bishaklinu lisifte. They took his chest, they took his sack overnight while he was sleeping. Melinuo afar. And instead, they took out all the precious jewels that were in there, and they replaced it with dirt. Now, in some of the Girsaot, the next line is, L'machar ki chazanhu amar gamzu l'tova. Next day, when he realized it, he said gamzu l'tova. Doesn't make so much sense, and that's probably why the Girsa was taken out, because of the subsequent part of the story, which is, Kimatu atom. When he reached the Caesar, Shavino the Sifta, they opened up the chest, or they opened up the bag. Chazanu the Malu Afra, they saw it was full of dirt. So it sounds like that he didn't know that. Why, otherwise, why would he have handed them a chest full of dirt, or a bag full of dirt? The dirt was there to simulate the weight of the precious stones, and he wasn't aware of it. And only once he gave it to them as a gift, they opened it up, and he looks like a fool because he's giving them dirt. Bo Malko the Mictalino the Kulum. He wanted to kill the entire delegation, including Nachum Ish Gamzu. Amar, kamechaychu bi yudai. The Jews are poking fun at me. They are making a laughing stock out of me. Amar gamzu l'tova. Nachum Ish Gamzu. Kedarko b'kodesh said, this is also for the good. Ata Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi shows up. Adami le kechad minayu. He appeared like one of them, meaning one of the members of the Caesar's palace. Amar, dilma ha'afra mi'afra da'afra mavum. Maybe that dirt that is giving to you is like the dirt of Avram Avinu. When he used to throw dirt, it used to turn into swords. Gilei, when he used to throw stubble or the refuse from the flax, avugire, it turned into arrows. Dichtiv. Pasuk says, Iten gafar charbo, kagash nidav kashto. It's really the opposite of what we're saying here, which is that his sword will make things, crush things or make things to dust. And kikash nidav kashto, and his arrows, his bows and arrows will make things like a driven stubble. So over there, it's talking about from the perspective of the weapons making something like a fire or like kash. And over here, the Gemara is reversing that and saying that the afar and the kash turn into these weapons. They had this one area that they were unable to conquer. Badku mine, they used some of this stuff. And they were successful at conquering it. Ailu the Bey Ginzei, they took him into the treasure house of the king. Malula Sifte Avanim Tovot Magliot, they filled it up with precious stones and pearls. Ushtarua Bikara Rabo, and they sent them off in a great procession and a great kavot. Kihata Baitu Bahau Diura. On their way back, they stayed at the same inn that they had stayed on their way there. Amalei. My aite bahadach, davdilach kikara kulehai. What happened to you that you're being honored in such a wonderful manner? Amalehu, my deshakli mihocha, amati lahatam. Whatever I got over here, I ended up taking over there. And that they knew what had happened, but he didn't spell it out, but he basically said, I know that you guys put the dirt in there, and the dirt that you put in here, I took up there, and that's all that happened, and I ended up in a really good position. So these guys think, wow, if that's the case, we may as well emulate what he did. We may as well end up doing the same thing. Sachru, the Dirayu, they took apart, deconstructed their house. From Tino the Bay Malcolm, they took up the dirt and took it over to the Caesar. Amulei, Hayafra, the Aiti, Hacha, Mididano. That dirt that guy brought before, that was from our house. And here, we got tons more of it. But Kuo, they tried it out. Velo Ashkechu, it didn't work. And they ended up killing the innkeeper or those individuals who had stolen from Nachum Ish Gamzu. That's a little story about Nachum Ish Gamzu. First of all, that he's Mulumad Ben Isin, that he was a person who many miracles happened to. And also the character of Nachum Ish Gamzu, that he was an individual that always saw the positive, was always optimistic, and always felt that no matter what happened, it was Gamzu the Tova. One of his primary Talmidim is Rabbi Akiva. And we know from the stories of Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Akiva had a similar sentiment when he got into difficult situations and said, Gamzu l'tova. That's the very famous story of Rabbi Akiva with the fact that he stayed out in the field and he had a flame and he had a chicken and the chicken runs away, and that the flame blows out. And the Gemara tells the story there that all of those items ended up being for his good, because overnight he had not found lodging in the city. The city was overrun by troops or a legion, and they destroyed the entire city. And had he had an animal out there or the light out there, they would have seen him and killed him as well. And all of these things worked out in his favor that it protected him. But he is a Talmid of Nachum Ish Gamzu, who formulates this perspective or this hashkafa of Gamzu the Tova, which is true of our perspective on what happens in the world. The Gemara tells us that on good things we make the bracha tov amitiv, and on difficulties or bad things we say baruch dayan emet. But latid lavo, in the future, we'll make the bracha of tov amitiv both on the good and on the bad. Because latid lavo, we'll be able to see or understand that everything that was bad was really for the good. And that's what Nachum Ish Gamzu's perspective is over here, which is Gamzu the Tova. That even though I know it doesn't feel right, and it doesn't feel good, and I know it's a difficulty, I still understand that Gamzu the Tova, in the end, it really will be something good. I'm just not privy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. And the way to overcome that difficulty or that challenge is to say Gamzu the Tova, to recognize that there must be something good that's come out of it, and hopefully in our lifetime we'll be able to see it. But even if we don't see it in our lifetime, still we trust that Hashem is doing what's best for us. Alright, Ezeu Dever. The Mishnah determines or gives us a threshold by when something's determined to be pestilence or a plague. Ir Hamotzia Chamesh Meod Raglei, a city that has 500, whether it means a 500 population, or its fighting population is 500, and then you have three dead that are taken out over a period of 3 days. Tanei Rabbanan, Ir Hamotzia Chamesh Meod Ve'Elef Raglei, you have a city that has a population of 1,500, or has people who are ra'ui to be troops, 1,500 of them, Kagon, Kfar Akko, to give an example of a city like this. If they have 9 dead that leave the city over a 3-day period, Zechar Zeh, successive days, Harizeh Dever, that's classified as Dever. So what the Gemara just said now is that what the Mishnah indicated about 500 is a ratio that is maintained as the population increases. So for every 500 people, you would expect to see 3 dead over a period of 3 days in order to classify it as Dever. So same is true. If you have a population of 1,500 there, 3 times the amount, then you also have to expect 3 times the Metim in order to classify it as Dever. I mean, that's the ratio that is used in this situation. Piyom Echad, if you have 3 Metim, they go out in 1 day. O B'dal Yamim, or if it transpires over 4 days, Ein Ze Dever. That's not considered to be Dever. As Rashi explains, that if they go on Biyom Echad, if they go out in 1 day, then it's not classified as a Dever because Ekrai Ba'amahu, it's just happenstance. It's serendipity that all these people died on the same day. It's not indicative of a plague. On the other hand, if it happens over 4 days, that's also spread out, and it's more normal rate of death. So they require 2 things here. They require both that it's 3 Metim, but it has to be 3 Metim over 3 days. So it takes it out of the realm of normalcy, and brings it into the realm of the unusual, and indicates that there is a Dever, or there's something wrong over here. Now, Ir Hamotzia Chamesh Meod Raglei, if you have a city that has 500 in population, Kavo Kvar Amiko, like this village of Amiko, or the city of Amiko, V'yatsumi mena shlosha mitim begimu yamim, you have 3 dead that are go out over a 3-day period, Zechar Zeh successively, Harizeh Dever, that's classified as Dever. B'yom Echad, if it happens over a single day, or Arba'a Yamim, over 4 days, Ein Zeh Dever. Now, Drokart, Ir Hamotzia Chamesh Meod Raglei Havo, again, it's another city that has 500 of population. Rashi over here discusses what exactly this Drokart is. At one point he says it's Kfar Akko Drokart. He says it seems to be like a suburb, or the smaller Kfar Akko. And the other interpretation he says is, Nusacher Diokra is Ir Shishma Yud, a city whose name was Yud, and because it was a very small city. But again, it's a smaller city than the Akko, which had 1,500 people. This has 500 people in it, or 500 people that are ra'ui to go into the army or to be enlisted in the army. Now, in that case, it was this a case where they have 500 in population, and 3 dead left the city on a single day. Goza Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista Tanito. Nachman Yitzchak instituted a tanit because he thought it was Dever. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Come on, who are you passing like? Rabbi Meir? Passing like Rabbi Meir? Damar Richek Nigiotav Chayav Kirev Nigiotav Lo Kol Shekein. So this is talking about a short tam and a short muad. Shor Tam is a domesticated Kram ox, and a Shor Muad is an ox who's already gotten a reputation or a chazakah for goring people. How do you move from being a Shor Tam to a Shor Muad? So the Gemara there discusses the fact that you have to gore three times. Once it's gored three times, then it has a chazakah that establishes it as a Shor Shemenageach, a Shor Muad. What Rav Nachman basically is pointing out is that in that instance over there, how many times does he have to gore over what period of time? So there we talk about him goring three times over 3 days. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Meir says, well, if he gores three times over 3 days, then certainly if he gored three times on a single day, that definitely makes him into a muad. The 3 days and the three times, that is a lower threshold by which we move. But if you say that three times on a single day, he's certainly a wild animal. Then he's certainly a menageach. So that's the same thing that Rav Nachman Rav Chista is indicating over here. That if you say three people die over 3 days, then certainly if three people die on a single day, that should necessitate a tanit, because that's definitely dever. That's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's criticism of Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, because you're passing like Rabbi Meir. And we know the halacha, when it's a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, against Rabbi Meir's position. So therefore, you should not have instituted a fast day because of this. So then, Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, why don't you move out of your city where they're not mechabed you and there's not a great population and come live by us? And obviously that would help out Rav Nachman Rav Chista, because he wouldn't be able to learn from Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. We have a Mishnah. Rashi, interesting translation of Tanina over here. Rashi says, Tanina is Tani Ana. Shoni Ani Breita Zu. I learned this Breita, which is Rabbi Yossi Omer. Lo mikomo shel adam mechabdo. The location of the individual is not what grants him the honor. El adam mechabedet mikomo. It's the other way around. A person brings honor to the location. Shekei matzinu b'har Sinai. Because we find b'har Sinai, shekol zman sheshchina shruya alav. As long as the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu was on the mountain, Amra Torah, Yam Atzon v'Bakar al Yiru el mul harahu. That the Tzon and Bakar may not appear on this mountain, because anybody goes on the mountain is going to be killed or die. Nistalkash chena mimenu. As soon as the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu leaves the mountain, Amra Torah, b'mshoch ha-yovel, hema yalu b'har. Once they blow the long blast of the shofar, they're permitted to go up onto the mountain. Now this is, as Rashi points out, you can see there's a lot of Rashi here discussing it, is a somewhat difficult situation, because a number of items. Number one is, Gam Atzon v'Bakar al Yiru el mul harahu. That is a reference that is brought by the second Luchot. Whereas the statement of Bimshoch HaYovel Eme Yalu Bahar is after the giving of the first Luchot. So the Bimshoch HaYovel Eme Yalu Bahar is referencing when the first Luchot were given before the Chet of Egel Azav. But the statement in Shmot Lamed Daled in Parshat Kitisa is already after the Chet Egel HaZahav, and there it's Gam Atzon v'Bakar Yiru Amur Aharahu. That's a reference to the Kedusha of Har Sinai, but the Kedusha of Har Sinai that's related to the Luchot HaShniot. As Rashi points out, that the Shekhinah stayed there until the Yom HaKippurim, till Yom Kippur, when they got the second Luchot, the Shekhinah stayed and rested upon Har Sinai. And not only that, it even stayed past that. From time of Yom Kippur until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, until they finish the construction of the Mishkan, the Shekhinah resides on Har Sinai. And then Rashi over here, which makes it very likely that it's not Rashi over here, says something that's very similar to the Ramban's approach to the Mishkan. The Ramban is an introduction to Parshat Truma, as well as at the end of Sefer Shmot, says a statement like this, HaShekhinah Shesharah B'Har Sinai, Shekhinah that rested upon Har Sinai, moves from Har Sinai into the Ol Moed. It moves into the Mishkan itself. And therefore the Ramban himself sees the Mishkan as a continuation of Har Sinai, and mitzvot that are given from Ol Moed are the equivalent of being given on Har Sinai, because it's really a perpetuation of that which transpired on Har Sinai. It fits with the Ramban's Shita, that the Mishkan was a lachatchila, and it wasn't a result or a reaction to the Egel HaZahav. Rashi, on the other hand, in Chumash, believes that it is a reaction to the Egel HaZahav, and therefore it makes the explanation that he's giving here, which is very similar to the Ramban's, difficult, because Rashi really believes that the Mishkan was not the original plan, and therefore, why would he believe that the Shekhinah that was on Har Sinai moves into the Mishkan? because that wasn't necessarily the original plan. The original plan was to go without a Mishkan altogether. So it makes it a little harder. It's not impossible to explain it that way, but a little more difficult. But it's something that's similar to the sentiments of the Ramban. But Rashi is pointing out is that the Shekhinah is there all the way till the time of the Mishkan. So what he says is that the Shekhinah remains there, but it remains there without all the fireworks that were there for the first Luchot. And therefore, the first Luchot referred to Bishocho Yovel, Emi Yalu Bahar, is that some of the fireworks and the danger that are there, that pomp and circumstance disappears after the first Luchot, but the Shekhinah is still present. And Bishocho Yovel, Emi Yalu Bahar, is a reference to when they finish. When everything's finished, and we're all done here, and they give the last blessing of the Shofar, then the Shekhinah is going to remove itself from Har Sinai, and that point it'll be permissible to go on there. The point being made here is that Har Sinai was nothing without the Shekhinah on it. When the Shekhinah is there, all the rules, all the regulations apply. As soon as the Shekhinah leaves, it's not relevant anymore. It becomes Chulin. Har Sinai has no significance, has no Kedusha or residual Kedusha once the Shekhinah leaves there. And his point again is that the person makes the place does not make the person. Therefore, he doesn't feel compelled to leave the location that he's in, even though it's not perfect, they're not mechabed him there. Nevertheless, he doesn't see that as being enough of a reason to move to the new location, because the location is not what's important, it's the individual that is important. Then they bring another example of that, v'chei mazinu b'ol moed, should be b'mbar. Find the same thing with regards to the Mishkan. Shekhol zman shu natui, as long as the Mishkan is standing and is built, amrat Torah v'shachu min machaneh kol tzaruah, then you have to send all the tmeim out of the machaneh, each one out of its particular machaneh. Huglulu ha-parochet, they roll up the parochet, meaning that they collapse the Mishkan, Huchu zavin mitzorim likanes sham, then the zavin mitzorim can re-enter the machaneh, because there's no longer that kedusha that is left inside of the machaneh. The Mishkan at the center of the machaneh is what grants kedusha to the machaneh that prevents those that are tmeim from coming into the machaneh. But once you remove that which was in the middle, that which is the Shekhinah from the machaneh, then the machaneh itself collapses, and there's no longer any perimeter by which the tzeruah or the zavin are blocked from coming into. Ikumano the gavimar, I'll move to live with you. Why should I stay away? I'll go to you. Tamalei mutav yavo manet ben pras, it's a manet ben manet. Better that the one who is 100, the son of 50, should go to the one who is 100, the son of 100. Vayavo manet ben manet, and the one who is 100, the son of 100, should not go to the one until Maneh ben Pras, to the 100 that is the son of 50. As Tosafot points out over here, you have Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and you have Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, only Rav Nachman is called a Rav. His father is called Yitzchak Plain. Whereas Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, Rav Nachman's father was also called a Rav. So that's what he says. You, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, are Maneh ben Maneh, 100, the son of 100. You were both Rabbanim. But I am only Rav Nachman, who's 100, Bar Yitzchak, my father, who is Pras, is like a 50 because he did not have smicha, he was not called Rav. So he says, better that I come to you than you come to me. Now whether that means in the end he acquiesced to come there, even though originally he declined, or whether he's making an excuse on both sides. He says, you can't come to me because that's not proper for your kavod, and I can't come to you because there's no reason for me to leave, because the person makes the place and the place does not make the person. Right, Bisura Havot Devarto. There was Dever in Surah. Bishivute de Rav lo avad Devarto. But in the neighborhood or the section where Rav lived, there was no Dever. Svarumine, Mishum Schute de Rav denofish. People thought that the reason this was true is because Rav had a lot of merits and he protected his neighborhood. So Itchazilu Bechelma, they had a dream. Those people that thought that Rav was responsible for the fact that there was no Dever there. Rav nefishet zuchutei tuva. Rav has unlimited number of merits. Hamilta zutratelei the Rav. But this item is beneath his dignity. This is way below Rav, and it was not because of Rav that it's protected. Ela mishum haugavra. Because of this individual who lives in the neighborhood, tishayal moro uzvila likvura. He would lend out his spade and his shovel for people to use to dig graves for kvura. So that midat chesed and a midat of generosity is what protected the neighborhood, not Rav. Now Rav was definitely qualified to protect the neighborhood, but it wasn't necessary because they had this other individual there that protected the neighborhood. Vidrokart havat lekta. In this location there was a fire. Ubishivutei de Rav Huna. In the neighborhood of Rav Huna lo havat lekta. There was no fire. Sover mina bischuta de Rav Huna de Nafish. Because Rav Huna had a lot of merit, that's why that area of the neighborhood was protected. It chazilu b'chilma, as some appeared to in the dream to those individuals who thought that the reason it didn't burn down in his neighborhood was because of Rav Huna. Hai zutra le the Rav Huna, that's beneath him. That's just not on his scale even. You want to talk about big scale stuff. You don't want to talk about little scale stuff. Ela mishum hai itita. It's because of this woman who lives in the neighborhood. De mechamamat tanura. She heats up her oven. Umishayle le shivavate. And she lends it out to her neighbors who can't afford to do it or have that necessity. And as Rashi points out here, they are both midah connected midah. That the individual who lent out his utensils for digging graves for the metim was protected from mitah, from the dever. And the woman who heated up the oven with fire in order that others could use it, she was protected from the fire. So it's a midah connected midah that chesed that they did also protected them from that which was happening in the city, and therefore their neighborhoods were protected. And it wasn't because of Rav and Rav Huna, but it was because of these regular lay people. Amrulei the Rav Yehuda, Atu Kamtze. They say, we saw some locusts. Gazar Tanita. He instituted a fast day right away. Amrulei, Malokam Afsadon. They're not damaging the crops. Why should you put a fast day in if they're not doing any damage? Amrulei, Zavda Aitu Badayu? Did they bring provisions with them? Meaning that they're not coming with their lunch boxes over here. If they're locusts here, they got to eat at some point. And when they eat, it's going to be our stuff that they're going to eat. So we may as well start fasting now, because this is not going to have a good outcome unless they're out of here. Amrulei the Rav Yehuda, Iga Mutanu Bechazire. There was a plague or pestilence within the pigs. Gazar Tanita. He instituted a fast. So neighbor Kasava Rav Yehuda, Maka Mishulechet Minechad Mishulechet Bechominim. That if you have a moving type of magifa, plague of some sort, then, if it affects one area, then we assume that it's going to affect other areas. So too here, it affected the pigs, but it's also going to affect the other items afterwards. Where it says, lo, shiny chazire de damyin mayayud bnei en ashay. It's different because pigs' stomachs are very similar to those of human beings. And therefore, you would extrapolate if there's a problem with the animals, that there will also eventually be a problem with the human beings because of this similarity. And therefore, he wanted to preempt the problem, and he put a fast day in place right away because of what was happening to the pigs. Amrulei the Shmuel, Iga Motana Bechuzai. He said there's some sort of plague in a place, Bechuzai, which was in Bavel, far from the city of Shmuel. Gazar Tanita. He instituted a Tanita fast day in his city. Amrulei Vahamirachek. This place is so far away. It doesn't really impact us. So why are we fasting? Amar Leika Ma'abra Hocha de Pazaglei. Where do you see some sort of bridge or water that would separate between us and the Dever? It has a direct route to get here, and people can travel here, and therefore there's a possibility that the plague could reach us, no matter what the distance is, as long as there's no physical barrier there. So I'm a leader of Nachman, Iga Motana Barad Yisrael. He says there is a plague in Eretz Yisrael. Gazar Tanita, he instituted a fast day. This is in Bavel. He instituted a fast day. Amar, Im Gvira Loka Shivcha Kolo Koshikain. If the mistress is being punished or being hit, then certainly the shivcha, the maidservant, certainly will get affected. So Eretz Yisrael being the mistress, Bavel being the shivcha, if Eretz Yisrael is getting hit, then certainly Bavel will get hit. Taimo de gvira v'shivcha, ha shivcha v'shivcha. The deal they're making here is that the reason that we know which way to go is because there's a gvira and a shivcha. Eretz Yisrael is better than Bavel. Hashivcha v'shivcha, if you had something on equal levels, like two places in Bavel, lo, then you wouldn't fast. V'hamrulei l'shmol ika motana bechuzai. Didn't we just see an example of that with bechuzai? Gazar tanita, he put a place, a tanit, far away from bechuzai. It says, shiny hotum gave the ika sheyarato to levai v'achibade. Since there are frequent caravans or transportation between the two locations, therefore it'll hitch a ride with them and it'll come down and affect us. So because of the frequency of travel between these cities, it makes them as if they have a singular din with regards to Dever. Abba Umanahavo. Abba was a bloodletter. Atele Shalma Mitivta Drikia. He used to get greetings from the Yeshiva Shalmala Koyoma every day. Ulevaye. For Abaye Komala Yoma de Shabto. Every Arab Shabbat he used to get a greeting from the Yeshiva the Mala. Rava Komala Yoma de Bikurim. He got it once a year on Arab Yom Kippur. Abaye was distraught over the fact, Mishom, Daba Umano. because this Abu Mana was getting visited every day by the Yeshiva Shamalo. In the meantime, he was only getting it once a week. What was this guy doing that was so much better than meat? So the people respond to him and say, to Abaye, Lo Matzi the Me'avad Gu Ovadei. You can't do what he does. He does something so exceptional, that's what grants him this unique status. Ma'avad Ovadei, the Abba Umano. What was it that he did that made him so special? Tichya'avad Milta. Whenever he used to bloodlet, Abba Machit. First of all, he separated between the men and the women. Kept the men separate from the women. And on top of that, he had a special cape or gown that the it beg harno, that he put a bloodletting horn into it. That could penetrate into the shoulder or could go through a hole in the body. So basically he had a cape that had the bloodletting instrument attached to it. And if a woman came in, instead of having to uncover her, she would put on this cape, and then he could work the bloodlet with the cape on and never have to have visibility of the woman. So it was extremely tsanua, and he protected the tsniuta of the women as well. Kihavot achule itata. When a woman showed up, avi malbishla, he would have her wear this. Kechadol nistakaba, so he wouldn't have to look at her. Vidle duchta de tsnia de shadibe pshite de shakil. He used to put in the money that people gave to him. There was a separate location which he couldn't see where they would deposit the money to pay him. Whoever could afford to pay for it would put it there. If he didn't have money to pay for it, he wasn't embarrassed because he couldn't see him. He couldn't see that he didn't pay. If he got a young Talmud Chacham that came to visit him, he didn't charge him. And after he got up, he would give him money. Go make sure you're healthy. Gemara tells us in other places that after bloodletting, it was important to drink, it was important to eat. So he gave him money so that they could actually do that. So Abai sent over a pair of Rabbanan to go check him out, to see if this guy is the real deal. So Odvinu, he sat them down, Vachlinu, and he fed them, Vashkinu, and he gave them to drink. Machlehu bistarke belelya. He set up for them these beautiful wool beds at night. The tzafra karchinu v'shaglinu. The two Talmidei Chachamim folded up the beds and walked off with them. Kamu v'nafkalu l'shuka, and they went out to the marketplace. V'shkechinu. And then this Abba Umano bumped into them in the shuk. So Amrulei, the two Talmidei Chachamim say to him, v'shamei mar heichi shavu. Tell us how much they're worth. Amrulei, hachi v'achi. They're worth this much. So Amrulei, they said back to him, l'duma shavu tvei. Maybe it's worth more. I purchased them for that price beforehand. So they obviously now know that he knows that they stole those items, and that's why he's giving them the right price, because he knows it's his. So Amrulei, they say back to him, these are your mattresses, and we took them from you. So Amrulei, mamatu minach, v'mai chashdetinan. They said, please, why don't you explain to us, what did you think? You saw us holding your beds and selling them in the shuk. What do you think was happening? Do you think we were thieves? Amar lahem, he says to them, Amina pidjun shvoi miklu the Rabbanan. There was a desperate need to redeem captives that the Rabbanan were engaged in. And they were embarrassed to tell me. Therefore, I assume that you took the beds to sell in order to raise the funds for the pidjun shvoi. So Amrulei, hashta nashklinu mar. So they said, now, why don't you take them back? Amrulei, mehav shaita is chatinu midatai litztaka. From the moment that I saw they were gone and that you had taken them, I assumed they were going to charity and they belong to charity. And I would not take them back. Basically, they're going to go to charity at this point because I was gomer bidati not to take them back. Havakachalsha date de Rava. Rava was also distraught, Mishum Davaye, because he only got visitation from Yeshiva Shomal every year of Yom Kippur and Abai was getting it every week. Samulei mistayach tekameganit akula gracha. Be satisfied. Be calm about this, because you were protecting the entire city. And he had to protect the inhabitants of the city. So that was eating up his time, as well as his merits. And that's why Abaye had more frequent visitors than Rava. Okay, we're going to stop over here.